Does anybody else want to preach that gospel homily?
I know, right? Go for it. All right. So it's a lot for us to think about. Again, we're in the season of Advent, getting ready for what? Christmas, right? You got the four candles, that moment of like purple, pink, purple. Like you're getting ready, and it's a season of waiting, of longing. We're wearing lots of purple and gold, right? Man, what a game. That was a rough game. Actually, I found myself rooting for Coach O towards the end. I thought it was a great game, great fight. Aggies will take it next time we pray, but a reminder. And we use this in the penitential rite this morning. When we talk about the coming of Jesus at Christmas, it's not just one coming that we think of. It's three comings, if you want to consider it. The first coming, obviously, in Bethlehem, that historical moment 2,000 years ago. We remember it at Christmas. We celebrate it like a birthday. And we value it. We ponder it. We learn from it the virtues that Jesus taught us. He did not come with wealth and pride. He came with humility and lowliness. The second coming, we say, you came, Lord, to gather the nations into the peace of God's kingdom. You come now. How does Jesus come now? He comes in word, in the scriptures that speak to us. God still speaks to us. In the teachings of the church, the whispers of conscience, you are still present, Lord. And we want to be aware of your visitation. Jesus lamented that we did not recognize the time of our visitation. May we always be ready for those moments. The first coming, the second coming, the third, that final coming, we look forward. You will come, not in lowliness and like a baby in Bethlehem, nor in the hidden signs of the Eucharist, but you will come in glory with salvation for your people. We get ready for that coming. We long for it and we prepare for it. It is a season of longing, of hope, of being ready. There's a lot of themes that we could talk about in this season of Advent. You'll notice like this liturgical season, it's like an exercise routine. You know, some days you work on upper body, then you switch to lower body, then you do the I don't know what it is because I don't do it, but like whatever you're supposed to do in your exercise routine, it changes. It's constantly changing. But you're always working on getting the whole body fit. That's the liturgical year, and it alternates different things to focus on. So Advent focuses on its themes, Lent focuses on other themes, Easter time, Christmas time. But one of the themes of Advent, and I'll just take it right from the Gospel, it's a theme of keeping watch, of keeping vigil. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness. As if he was making sure we didn't think it just meant physical. Carousing and drunkenness or the anxieties of daily life. Don't get too caught up on those, lest that day catch you by surprise. So a theme of keeping vigilant, of staying awake. So maybe just to help us in our reflection as we get ready and try to set the tone for the next 4 weeks of Advent, just consider like a tale of two cities, two images, two dispositions. One's wrong and one's right, just so you know what's coming. But the first disposition we could consider like first world Christmas. Okay, first world season, it's a season of, obviously, it's drowsy. We've fallen asleep. We're getting tired. We're not ready. Those who are not ready. It's a theme of who needs Christ in Christmas? Because there's too many other things to worry about. I got to focus on shopping and my Christmas list of presents. It's a season of eating and indulging, a season of holidays and sleeping late, a season of entertainment, a season of focusing on where we're going to go for this year's vacation. We're focused on those things. And the scriptures often will come out in Advent season of our Lord saying, gross is the heart of this people. Gross in the sense of greasy or fat. Fat is the heart of this people. Fat, lazy, overweight, out of shape, malnourished. It's the world of superficial kids inflating themselves on more and more things. They're not grateful for what they already have. They just want more stuff. And they're entitled to it. Because that's just their understanding of the world. And it's inflating their egotism because the world is all about me and my happiness and my pleasures and my delight. We're focused on fitting in with the world. We want to look like other people, dress like other people, have what other people have. It's a world where I am constantly comparing myself to what everyone else is doing, what their Facebook says they're doing. This world doesn't want Christ's return. We're not ready. We're terrified of dying. We live in fear and anxiety. Fear that that day will come, even though we know it's coming. So we simply hide from it. We ignore the signs and the fact of that reality. We anesthetize ourselves in this world. We drug ourselves just to be so caught up in other things, business, sports, entertainment, those things we talked about, the shopping, the Facebook, the social media. We're caught up in all those things so as not to feel the sting of conscience that might either gently or less gently tell me, hey, change your ways, change your priorities. Look at the world around you. It's not okay. We're trying to live in luxury in a world which we've been saying over the last few weeks. It's like a house that has that sign on the front of the door saying condemned, and yet we're trying to live comfortable in it. It's a twisted thing of like, no, that's not okay. We might be ready in this first world church, this first world Christianity. We might be ready for a sprint, but we're not ready for the marathon that it really is. I can handle 1 week of Advent or 1 hour of giving God an hour a week on Sunday, but if more is asked of me, well, that's too much. Jesus talks about becoming drowsy, falling asleep. Maybe that's physical. I'm tired and I'm so caught up in the busyness and anxieties and shopping that I'm just exhausted. My kids are committed to 1,000 different things, and at the end of the week, I am too tired to even try to pray, to even try to think about deeper things. Or it could be the idea of just fatigue with my faith, fatigue with my religion, fatigue with church. The truths of the faith don't speak to me. I don't respond to them. I'm grown tired of these things. I'm too caught up in other things. First world church, first world Christmas, it's because we live in a country that really does have everything, so much money, so much wealth. And yet you realize it's also got some of the highest levels of depression. Because all those things, they don't make us happy. The heart is longing for other things, for deeper things. How many more disasters will it take? How many more sobering moments to realize this world doesn't have what I want? I'm going to give my best to it, but I'm not going to get attached to that house that is collapsing. The message that our Lord would cry out to us in this first world is, wake up! Didn't you realize? How did you miss? Speaking back of anesthetizing ourselves, that we even let our mind just get caught up in a whole bunch of other things, or even letting the intelligence that God gave me use reasons to pretend that he doesn't exist, or maybe this whole religion thing is a hoax. We miss so much evidence. We're asleep, intellectually, socially, spiritually. Wake up. So that's the first world, and obviously our Lord is really gently or firmly or loudly calling us out of that world. That's why he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He criticized those who are either rich or too attached to earthly possessions. He says, they'll miss it. They won't be ready. They'll walk away from it. The other, you know, tale of two cities, the other city, I can call it whatever, the third world or the post-hurricane world. It's a world that knows it is in need. It's a world that knows it is not okay. It's looking for someone beyond itself. It's looking for a salvation, for a savior. It's not falling asleep in that search. It's staying awake, alert. It is grateful for what it does have because it knows it could have lost so much more. It has what matters. I have my family, hopefully, my faith. It's grateful. But it's also alert and looking, searching, seeking. It's sober here because it knows that there's nothing here that is worth getting drunk on, overindulging in. It's not about buying more for myself. I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to give away things that are just weighing me down. Too many things give me just more to be worried about, more to be anxious about. If I get the new car, I'll be worried about breaking it. Well, maybe I need it. Well, I definitely need a new roof, and that's fine. But I'm also mindful of those people who don't even have a foundation so that I can be spending more perhaps on them. Because life is about love and giving of myself, not taking more from myself. I'm focused on growing stronger. Physically, perhaps, and why not? Maybe more exercise in this season, but especially stronger in self-control, not self-indulgence. Stronger in my faith, deepening my understanding of the gifts that God has given me so that I'm able, like good soil, disposed to receive those gifts, understanding what to expect from them and what not to expect on this side of death. Growing stronger in Christ, in my relationship with Christ. Maybe I'll spend more time with Him. Rather than signing up my kids maybe for one more extracurricular just in case their calendar wasn't full enough, maybe I'll sign up my family for an hour of adoration a week during these 4 weeks of Advent, just to show them that worth, that hidden value. It's a season in a world that says, no, keep Christ in Christmas. And not just as an extra, but as the center of Christmas. Lest we forget what this is all about. This world thinks of Advent, bear with me, but this and those scenes of movies like Rocky or Cinderella Man, these fighting movies where you just realize you lost in the beginning because you were not ready. So you're going to prepare yourself. But those scenes of preparation, I just loved Rocky IV. It was, you know, Sylvester Stallone, the Italian-American, lower class kind of, he's got nothing. He's got pushing a tire, running uphill in the snow, forging himself for the battle he knows is going to come versus that Russian guy with the state-of-the-art stuff. It just kind of showed a great paradox, a great contraposition. We want to be ready. We want to fight hard during this season of Advent. We're training. We're detaching. Our hearts are, if we find ourselves arguing over petty things, it's a time to detach our hearts from pettiness. We don't have time for that. I've had enough of tragedy. I will not be caught off guard. I'm not afraid of death or challenge. I am going to commit my time to things that are meaningful because I know that my time is limited. I'm not going to argue with my sister or brother over some petty toy. I'm going to give them a hug. I'm going to love better. It's like coming out for the game like LSU came out, ready to play, ready to win, ready to fight to the fourth quarter, the very end of the fourth week of Advent. Not quitting halfway, not getting distracted like with whoever saying something in the stands. I'm in the game 100%. That's this third world experience that our Lord says, when that day comes, stand erect, for that is your day. Because you were ready for it. Not afraid of it. For your redemption is at hand. We know it's a marathon, so we're ready for endurance. It's not about being that nice, shiny, polished Ferrari that I'm like scared of every single scratch mark on it, caught up in every petty thing. It's about it being a tank to handle what's coming. There is an endurance that we are called to form. So just an invitation just to set the tone for these next 4 weeks. Where am I on that scale? Which city better reflects my life? And if our Lord is inviting me to grow in a certain way, then I ask Him for that grace to grow. Maybe our Lord is saying, look at what you've done so far. Look at how far you've come. And I thank our Lord for the lights that He's shown me, the moments He's kind of sobered me up a little bit spiritually to change my ways, to change our values a little. We do give thanks for that. And maybe just some practicals for the season of Advent. The Advent liturgies, if you didn't get a calendar, grab one if you can, or download it from the webpage or call the office. There's a lot of opportunity over the next 4 weeks, whether it's coming here for celebration or growing in other ways. If you haven't gone to confession, there's a lot of time for confession so that exercise in your routine is not one thing you do every 20 years, but rather something you do regularly. Because we need it to keep that load light on our hearts. We have the December 12th Vigil Project, that live music and adoration to come experience that joy and reflection in our hearts. Tuesday nights continue to be faith formation nights, to grow in my ability to understand my faith. Why does the church teach the things that it teaches? When people ask me questions or doubt my faith or doubts in my own heart cause me to undermine and dismiss my faith. I need to be ready for those. Carrying that armor, St. Paul would talk about being armored, the shield of faith. Not taking my pads off before the game so that I'm knocked out after the first tackle. I'm ready. Tuesday nights. And just and for what it's worth, just an attitude of joy, hopefully coming from a sense of detachment from the things that would take away my joy. If the news takes away my joy, turn it off. If I'm arguing with my mom because she took away my cell phone, maybe I can lose the cell phone for 2 weeks instead of one. Just kidding, but it would be a good idea. Things that I don't need because they just disturb the peace of my heart so easily. It's time to give those up a little bit and embrace the things that strengthen my heart, strengthen my family, strengthen my love. Choose joy. It's a choice. Choose it. Where am I between those two cities? I know the house around me has that sign on it. It's condemned. It's collapsing. I don't know when. Don't know how much time I have, but I want my life to be meaningful. I want to spend it on things that matter. I want my life to have an impact. Our Lord is coming to help me. Our Lord is there to give me the strength, the grace. So I choose Him and steer away from lesser things, especially in these next 4 weeks, this exercise of Advent. Let us grow. Our Lord came, He showed us the way. Our Lord is with us still through the sacraments, through His word, and our Lord is strengthening us to be ready for that final coming. May we be ready for it now. May our Blessed Mother, who watched her son, she was there in that time of pregnancy, that time of expectation. It was hard for her. Advent is not supposed to be an easy time. It's supposed to be a hard time of preparation. Let us make it what we need it to be, what the Holy Spirit calls us to make it in our lives today. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.